only the bottom three Marmakamos are really for today. The other Marmakamos are for the shiur that we had last week, for which I didn't print the Marmakamos. So you have this set for Chazara. Okay, we left off. In other words, we're moving over from the world of Iser v'Heter in terms of the Esrog to the physical structure of the Esrog itself. And the Gemara goes according to the order of the Mishnah. And the Mishnah deals with the Chazazit. And the Mishnah distinguishes within the Chazazit between Rubo u'Mi'uto. The Gemara then adds two more categories. It adds the category of Minumar, of Shnayim v'Shalosh Mekomos, and it adds the category of Chotmo, of the Chotam of the Esrog, that we'll have to see exactly what that means. And Tosfos raises the broader issue. Also Chazazis al-Rubo, Tosfos quotes the Yerushalmi, Mash Maktsas de Biyom Tov Rishon Dafka Mifsal, Kidipirashtis Barosh Pirkin. The Tosfos back on Daf Kaf Testament days dealt with the Gemara Kasek Vitani. The Gemara made an assumption that the Psulim in the Mishnah are 7-day Psulim. Tosfos pointed out that we have Lechora on this matter, a machokis between the Bavli and the Yerushalmi. But Tosfos over here is very makatzer, but the Rosh is more marich. So if we would move over to the Rosh in Perek Gimel, Siman Tes Vav, in my edition, it's where the page turns to page 128. Also, Chazizus, Pirish Rashi Kimin Ababuot, Vahush Yesh Behem Mamash, Shemakomo Nikar B'mishmush, Shehu Gavoa Mishar HaEsrog, that we're dealing with something that can be felt by putting one's hand on the Esrog, when feels a raised bubbles on the Esrog, raised what to call them, ababuot,
blisters
on the outer part of the Esrog. Ubi Yerushalmi Masik Alei Rav Yitzchak Bar Nachman V'Shem Shmuel Kol Apsulim Einam Psulim Ela B'Yom Tov Rishon Bilvad. Okay, that's the Yerushalmi that Tosa says it's Ksas Mashma. The Yerushalmi says it black on white. And then the Yerushalmi goes a bit into the details. And we have the Lamed of the Korban Nesanel. The near Yerushalmi Savar Shechazizis Choshuv Kechaser Ulekach Lo Mifsal Ela B'Yom Tov Rishon. Namely, that as opposed to conventional wisdom that would view these raised abavuot as a problem within Hadar, but if it's an issue of Hadar, l'chor, then it's a 7-day issue within the school of the Balei HaTosfos. So the Yerushalmi Kanere views it as a din of l'kichatama, l'kachtem l'chem b'yom harishon, that l'kichatama is a 1-day psul. So Kanere, that is the background of the Yerushalmi. Tosfos says on that, we'll come back to, the Rosh says on that, we'll come back to this question, v'lo mistaber klal, d'i taima mishum chaser, may nafkinin ben rubo, l'miyuto, v'chotmo, ela vadai mishum hadarhu, o mifsal b'chol hayamim, or maybe shema Yerushalmi pala gemara didan, v'savar afilu b'hadar, l'mifsal ela b'yom tov rishon. So in terms of the issue of the question of how many days we have over here a psul, the Rosh is quite clear that it's a machlokas bavli v'Yerushalmi. Question is, what is the machlokas? Is the machlokas what is the psul? Or is the machlokas that everyone agrees the psul is one of Hadar, conventional wisdom? But the question is, how many days is the psul of Hadar? We saw which Rishon held that Hadar is only a 1-day psul? That Lulav Hayavesh is only possible 1 day?
The Rambam.
That was the Rambam, right? In other words, the Ravid disagreed with him. Lo hamesim yehaluka. In other words, it's a 7-day psul. So it could be a machlokas how many days Hadar is pasul. But the right, but the Rosh asked what he views as a very powerful question on the Yerushalmi, that the shiurim that we have, rov, miut, chotmo, lav chotmo, they don't make any sense if we're dealing with chaser. Chaser is a din of kol shehu. My nafkamina, if we're dealing with rov or miut, my nafkamina, if we're dealing with the chotam or the rest of the esrog, if it's an issue of chaser. No, what could you answer to the Rosh's question? The Rush, to a certain degree, answers it himself by explaining, by adding in a letter. Read the Rush. Nirish Yerushalmi Sover Shechazozis Chashuv Kichaser. Because really, when you think about it, is Chazozis Chaser? We have something which is added. So what Gemara over here is the Rush alluding to? Look at in the next to the last makor I quoted, Tanan Hasan, Gemara and Chulin and Perik Egu Trefos, Behema Ba'alas Heiraglayim, O She'enla Ela Shalosh, Hareza Mum, Amravuna Loshan Ela Shachaser Vyaser Biyad, into the two front legs of the animal, Avochaser Vyaser Beregel, forget about the issue of Mum, Trefa Nami Havya, Maitaima Kol Yeser Kenotul Dome. That we have a principle that we view an excess as within the world of trefos, as we would view a chisaron, as we would view that which is missing, and that's the chora over here, the kachaser. Namely, we're dealing with something which is an excess of esrog. We have that which stands out, which is above and beyond the esrog. Once we're dealing on the world of kol yeser. That we view that which is added as though it was subtracted, so that's already a halachic psul. That's not a question over here of a mitzius. Now, the Rosh asked the question, the chaser l'chora is a mitzius. Something is missing, and if it's missing a kol shehu, then it's chaser. And so what are we speaking about? Rov, miut, etc. But we're not dealing over here within Yerushalmi with chaser. We're dealing with k'chaser. We're dealing with the din of yeser kinnatul dami. That's a halachic psul. Halachic psulim have shiurim. And so over here, in other words, the shiurim are within this halachic psul of kol yeser kinnatul dami. This would help us also understand simply the language of the Yerushalmi. Why is chotam different? What does Rashi say? What's the uniqueness of chotam, of the esrog? Excuse me? It's the main part that you see. It's nira yoser le'enayim. In other words, that makes sense within the context of hador. In other words, that hador is in the eyes of the beholder, and that which is more seen is more of an eyes of a beholder. Masha'en came, when you go back to the Rush, and he quoted the Yerushalmi, so in the third line of the Rush, tamon taninan rubo mitzad echad, v'chotmo kerubo. It doesn't say over here that chotmo nira yoser. But rather chotmo kerubo, namely we have these shiurim. We have shiurim of yeser kenotel dame. We have the shiur of rov, and the chotam has the shiur of the kechaser that we're dealing over here on an objective plane, not on the subjective plane. So we have then really we could say that over here we have machlokas. It could be b'halacha. According to the Bavli and Yerushalmi, how much of a chazazis, according to Rashi, do you need on the chotam? What does it appear? We have a din of rubo, we have a din of miuto, we have a din of menumar. How much do you need on the chotam? A kol shehu l'chora. That's what would come out according to Rashi. However, within the Yerushalmi, chotmo kerubo dami,
menumar at least.
You don't have to go so far.
You need the chotam.
I would say that even you need the whole chotam. No. Even though the whole chotam is a miut of the esrog, but the chotam is kerubo. Namely, we're not dealing with the question of what are you seeing. We're dealing with the question of how do we view that excess. And if we view that excess as natul, and we have shiurim, and normally miut of an esrog is kasher, but when that miut is the chotam, then it's pasul. In other words, nothing to do with the question of the eyes of the beholder. This question as to how to view the chotam is like an objective. Is it a psul bifnei atzmo or not? We have a similar chakira in the world of birth that. We have a Mishnah, it's quoted the last source that I brought to you in Nida, Paragimel Mishnah. Hey, the Mishnah deals over there with the question of Mapelas. At what point is a woman considered to have given birth in terms of Korban Leida, etc.? So the Mishnah says, Mishiyatza Rubo Harehu Kiyalud. However, that's assuming that the we're dealing with a breech baby, which is coming out feet first. However, Yatza Kedarko, if it's coming out head first, Ad Shiyatza Rov Rosho. Veizehu Rov Rosho. Mishiyatza hapadachas, that already when the forehead comes out, the padachat, that's already considered to be rov rosho, okay? And that's already also considered to be a leida. So the question is, we have over here two hechitimtzes of leida, rov evarav and rov rosho. What chakira could you raise over here? What's the relationship between rov evarav and rov rosho? We're clearly dealing with totally different different standards in terms of size, in terms of quantity, right? Yes.
And it's still immune to the rest of the chatzah of the goat.
Correct. So what are we saying? In other words, that
it's thicker. The head is the most is like thicker. That's like.
The question is over here. Correct. And the question is: do we say that we have over here one definition of leida? Leida is leida saguf. We have a body. When the body begins to come out, that's called a leida. But there are two definitions. There are two hechitimtzus. Not two. There are simply two scenarios of how the body can come out. It come out via rov evarav. It come out via rosho, backwards, forwards, right? These are simply two scenarios. So basically, we need leida saguf. There's one definition of leida with two scenarios. Or you could say, no, we have over here two different definitions of birth. We have a definition of birth of gufo, the leida saguf, and that's rov evarav. And then we have a separate concept, because the head is so important, we have a concept of the leida of the head. We have a leida of the guf, and we have a leida of the head. This is rov evarav, this is rov rosho. My nafkamina between these two approaches, what if you have rov of rov harosh? So if rov harosh is simply a hechatimtza of the guf, so just like there's no concept of rov evarav, there's rov evarav and there's rov harosh. But if rov harosh is a birth in and of itself, that this is because it's a davar chashav, it's a birth in and of itself, then you could speak about the fact, can we have a rubu kakulo in terms of this new definition? That's pretty much what we're suggesting over here in terms of the chotam. That in terms of the chotam, Rashi understands the chotam stands on its own. It has its own standing, and a kol shehu on the chotam is enough. Mashenken, within the Yerushalmi, we don't have a din of chotam. We have a din of miyut and rov. We're saying that the chotam is like a rov, and we only have one concept of chazizis, which is posel, which is rov. Rov is posel. Rov could be one huge area. Rov could be a lot of small areas, but we're dealing with a world of rov. And the chotam fits into this world of rov. In any case, this is, you know, these lechora we have over here, minimally two distinctions between the Bavli and the Yerushalmi. One distinction, how many days? Bavli, 7 days, a din of hadar. The Yerushalmi, 1 day, a din of kichoser. Then we have a question, how much of the chazizis do you actually require on the chotam within the Bavli, hadar, kol shehu? That's Rashi is explaining. That simply that the kol shehu is near leinayim. Within the Yerushalmi, we have this din of kachaser, which requires rov, and so the chori you would require the entire chosam. But there is chotam, I'm sorry, with the tet. However, there is also a third nafgamina, and that's the rush over here in the beginning of Siman Yud Ches. The rush comes up with a svara. Chazazis she'olsa al rubo o al miyuto v'shnayim v'shloshim makomos o menumar. We have a psul of chazazis. Yir'eh, says the Rosh, she'yesh lo takana ayedei klipa, that you can do an operation on this esrog and remove the chazazis, im yiyeh mar'eh hakiluf kemare esrog kosher. If when you do this surgery, you're left with an esrog that looks like an esrog, then it's kosher. V'zeh psul shechoser lehechsheru. This is not a gemara. This is a rush. This is Yeroeli. The rush is saying, where did the rush come up with this, that you can have a psul which can be choser lebrioso? Have we learned, and since we began this perek on Daf Kaftes in the days, that there's a psul which is choser lebrioso, that we can do an operation and remove a psul?
Hadas.
What do we remove? The berries, right? We remove the anovim, and then it right. We pass an ein dichu yetzal mitzvos. When you remove the anovim, then it becomes kasher. So over here, the Rosh is comparing the chazazis to the anovim, namely with which the Rosh over here is speaking. With which he has a forked tongue, Bavli and Yerushalmi. With which tongue is the Rosh speaking over here?
The Bavli.
Yeah. If it's a din of hadar, we can return it to its level of hadar. We will remove that which is not hadar, remove the excess, the chazazitz which is not hadar, and return it to hadar. That's everything is in the eyes of the beholder. But if we have over here a trefa, right? If we have yeser kenotel dame, what good will it do to remove it? You just can't remove this. This is what you know. If you have that extra leg, the you know, where it's a trefa. You just can't surgically remove that leg and say now the animal is kosher. The animal is a trefa. A trefa is a trefa. That's you know, it's so l'chora. If it's a din of kechaser, then this operation doesn't make sense. If it's a din of hadar, then yes. What pushes us, or what pushed the Rosh to make his svara and compare the chazazis of the esrog to the anavim of the hadas within the sugyas? What did the Rosh see within the sugyas that he made this comparison? The Rov and the Miut, but you know, it's this the Rabbeinu Hagadol, right? The language of the Gemara, right? That we have, you know, it's that this the same terminology, the same phraseology that we have over here. Davar zeh Rabbeinu Hagadol maro hamakom yeh be'ezro lo shanu. We had that by the Anavim, right? The Gemara over here is repeating itself from what we saw on Daf Lamed Gimel Amud Aleph through Lamed Gimel Amud Beis. And so the Rosh said, kanereh, within the Bavli, that we have over here an identity, that if we can re-establish a Hadar, we can re-establish the Hadar also. If we can re-establish the Hadar by the Hadas, we can re-establish the Hadar within the Esrog. But if it's in of Kechaser, it's an internal issue within the Esrog. This Esrog, the Chefs of the Esrog is Pasul. It's kechaser dame, l'chora, that can't be solved with an operation, yes?
Based on that rush, are we able to save the etchum in any way that we're able to, or adapt it by removing something? Because let's say, we don't like color, let's say like a yellow one.
Oh, we'll come to that. Okay, that's a very good question. The question is whether color b'chalas psul in esrog, that we'll see as we get to it. Excellent question. L'chora, what we're saying over here is that psulei hadar lend themselves to be fixed up. If you recall, we spoke about the Tosis mentioned that Yavesh, it has to be that it would be changed color, because the color change is irreversible. As long as you have a change which is reversible, simply that it's dry, and if you put it in water, it's going to become moist and pliable, then that's not a psul to begin with. Right? So we see that Hadar, by definition, it means we're dealing with an irreversible issue, not with something which is reversible. And the Rosh over here says that the same way that anavim are reversible via removal, so the chazaz is also reversible via removal. Okay, that's what we have in terms of the chazazis. Moving over to the next Gemara, Nitra Pitmaso. Right, Tana Rabbi Yitzhak B'Rav Elazar Nitla Buchnaso. Over here we have Rashi, and Rashi gives us a biography or a halach a halachic distinction between two of his rebbeim, between Rav Yaakov and Rav Yitzchak HaLevi, as to what is the pitma that we are referring to over here. Who does Rashi quote on the Mishnah? Rav Yaakov. What does Rav Yaakov say? What is the pitma?
The top.
The upper part, the Rosh. The Rosh of the Esrog, what we call the Pitum, right? Colloquially. And Rav Yaakov and Rav Yitzchak HaLevi understood what is Pitma so?
The stem, like that is totally removed.
The stem, which...
The bottom part.
Which is inside of the Esrog. Namely, that when it's removed, we now have a cavity in the Esrog. That is the Nitla Hat Pitma so. L'chora, we're not just dealing over here physically with two different parts of the Esrog, but with two different psulim. What is a psul according to Rav Yaakov? Again, in other words, is it a psul of 1 day or 7 days? What is a psul according to Rav Yaakov?
All 7 days. Hiddur. Is it psul of hiddur?
When we're talking about the top of the Esrog, so the language that Rav Yaakov uses is Rosh HaEsrog. This Rosh, have we seen this word Rosh previously? In the world of Lulav, in the world of Hadas, in the world of Arava?
Niktam Rosho.
That what Rav Yaakov is doing is taking our Mishnah and putting it into the framework of the previous Mishnayos. We had a psul of Niktam Rosho of the Lulav, Niktam Rosho of the Hadas, Niktam Rosho of the Arava. Here, Nitla Pitmaso is the Niktam Rosho of the Esrog. And what's the psul of Niktam Rosho? Hadar. That's the psul of Hadar. Right? Niktam Rosho, the Gemara says, is the psul of Hadar. That would be a psul, at least according to Balyatosos, of 7 days. Masha Enkein, according to Rav Yitzchak HaLevi, he says black and white. Nital ha'etz mashachutz leguma shebe esro kosher. Pitmaso shenitla sha'oketz mitocha esrog. What's the next word? I'm reading within Rashi. V'chasaro. Lafikach pasul. That's a psul of chaser. That's a psul of 1 day. Okay, well, so we're dealing over here with two different psulim. Two different physical parts of the esrog and two different psulim. Is it a psul of hadar or is it a psul of chaser? No. What was the hachra of the Rambam?
Both.
What?
Both.
Why do you say machmir for both? And in other words, he paskins that both of them are pasul. Both of them are pasul. Pashtus both apostle mida oraisa. But how did he learn? Oh, we only have one Mishnah. How did you put yourself in the shoes of the Rambam? You're learning this sugya. How could he have learned this sugya to get two psulim on two different parts of the esrog simultaneously? One of them a psul of hadar and one of them a psul of chaser.
Well, because the Mishnah separately says chaser, so the
even sharper. You're reading the Gemara nitla pitmaso. Tana Rabbi Yitzchak ben Elazar nitla buchnaso. Nachon, we have a Mishnah and we have a Braisa. The Mishnah speaks about the Pitum. The Braisa of Rabbi Yitzchak ben Elazar speaks about the buchna. Okay, so you have the Pitum is puzzle. What?
I think it says that explicitly.
The Tosus says that Rav Yitzchak ben Elazar kori b'masnisin lahay pitmaso buchnaso. Later on, the end of Tosfos is the Rambam lechora, right? V'lo ba Rav Elazar Rav Yitzchak lefarish ela lahosif al hamishna, ela lahosif al hamishna. Nachon lechora, that's the way the Rambam learned that we have over here two psulim. We have the psul of the buchna of the stake which is being pushed into the ground, with in other words the wood which is being pushed into the esrog, and we have the pitum, and there's no stira between them. Lefech, we have two separate psulim, two independent psulim. Okay, let's continue. Move over to Niklaf. Amar Rava, Hai Esroga de Iglit Ke Ahina Sumka Kshera. Ha Anan Tana Niklaf Pasul. In other words, the word Gluda in Aramaic relates to peeling. Right? That's what we have within Chulin. When your iglid is peeling, so when you're peeling the esrog, Rava said that it's kosher. Our Mishnah says niklaf is pasul. Lo kasha ha bekula ha bemiktsasa. Okay, what did you see over here on kula and miktsasa?
Rashi means kula is kasher.
Rashi and against the world, right? That Rashi learns that kula is kosher and miktsasa is pasul, and the rest of the world, Rabbeinu Chananel and Tosfos and the Rambam, learn the opposite. So let's try and understand Rashi. Is there anyone who agrees with Rashi in the Rishonim that you saw? Let's look at the Rosh a minute. And keep your hand within Rashi. Niklaf. So the Rosh brings both deos, but he quotes Rashi. Before quoting Rabbeinu Chananel and the Ravid, he quotes Rashi, and it'll be very helpful, I think, in terms of understanding Rashi. Why does Rashi say that miktsasa, let's start off, why does Rashi say that miktsasa is possible? Rashi explains that.
Menumar.
Okay? We've seen Menumar previously in terms of the Shnayim Shlosha Makomos of the Chazazis. We've seen Menumar in other contexts as well. So we know that there's a psul, we saw it by the Hadas, we know that there's a psul of Menumar. And that leaves that Kulo is kosher. What two issues do we have that we have to answer according to Rashi? Why shouldn't Niklaf Kulo be X and why shouldn't Niklaf Kulo be Y? What are the two possible psulim that we would have in Niklaf Kulo? Let's look at the Rosh and we'll see how he Toch Kedei Dibur knocks off these two possible psulim. Niklaf Amar Rava Hai Esroga De Iglid Ki Ahina Sumka Kasher. This, according to Rashi, is the case of Niklaf Kulo, which is Kasher. Perush Shela'achar Shenitla HaKlipa Hum Ma'adim Kitimra Aduma V'chein kol ha-peiros ha-niklafim ma'adimim. So first, what does Rashi explain? What psul is not a psul?
Hidden.
What impact of the klipa on the esrog is not possible? The change of color. The change of color from yellow/green, greenish yellow, right? According to the Purim Chagiga, blue, right? The change of color to red is not a psul. Why is it not a psul? What does the Rosh say?
It doesn't happen.
That's oxidation. That's nature. Nature is not psul, right? Kol haperos haniklafim ma'adimim. So the fact that it turned red, that's not a change in color. That's the same esrog. It's just that's what happens to an esrog without a peel. Umayri shelonital ela haklipa haaduma velonital min halavan ima klum diimkein havelei chaser. Secondly, as Rashi point out, what possible psul could you have had via maklif? What could you have said that it, you know, that when you peel it, what's the psul? Chaser. Why is there no chaser over here? According to Rashi, because what are you removing?
The whole thing.
What?
Like it's just a klipa?
Yeah, exactly, it's just a klipa. In other words, you are not dealing with the esrog. The esrog is still there. The esrog is what he calls the lavan. The pre is still there. What you removed is not the pre. And therefore, there's no chaser. Okay, so in other words, you need a pre-eitz hadar. The pre is the fruit. Around the fruit, you have a klipa. You remove the klipa without touching the fruit. So what you have now is still a pre-Eitz Hadar. You have the pre, which is in its natural state, and its natural state is going to turn red, and you're not chaser anything. That's all Rashi. Now, let's try and understand the other Rishonim. Okay, so according to Rashi, when you're Kolef Kulo, you didn't do anything. You didn't do anything to the Esrog. You still have the Pri. You haven't changed its color from its natural form. But when you only cut off parts of the Klipa, you're creating a Menumar. You're being actively creating a Psul of Hadar. Yes?
We also see that at the end, that the Tosfos, the Chav Tes, the Beis, the Nektam Rosho, or the Halamim, and the Tosfos, was why we didn't teach the Braisa? Because you would think that had, if you cut off a little, it's not okay. But if you knit the whole thing, then that's nicer.
Nachon. Nachon, exactly, right. Okay, so let's now move over to the Rach and the Rambam and Tosfos. They're working off of what model to say that Miksas is kosher and Kulo is possible? What is their model working off of what?
They're going like the Chazazis, I suppose.
Like
the Chazazis.
Even more than the world of Trefa. Namely, the Gemara is going to compare to the world of Trefa. The Gemara says black and white. That Niklaf is an example of Trefa, right? E Niklaf Tanina, right? In other words, Gemara says, "Boy Rava, no du be'esok simane Trefa mahu, ma'ikum e boyle, e Niklaf Tanina, e Nistak Tanina, e Nikev Tanina." And within the world of Trefa, if we have an animal which you removed all of the animal's skin, what is the halacha?
It's Trefa.
It's a Tref. But if there are still patches of skin, then it's kosher. So we're comparing our esrog to a trefa, to an animal, in which kulo is pasul, trefa, and miktsaso is kosher. Why are we machshir the miktsas? Why are we machshir when patch of skin remain? What is the issue over here? Can an animal live forever without its skin?
No.
The skin can come back.
But right, the moment it's miktsas, it means that the skin can regenerate. If there's still skin there, the skin can regenerate. When all of it is removed, then the animal is left without protection, and that's already called a trefa. So we're saying the same thing by the esrog. Whether this is a botanical fact or not, I really don't know. Whether the esrog were to be on the tree, were to regrow its klipa, as long as some of it exists, but maybe yes. Let's assume yes, okay? Let's assume that we have over here a certain reality. Beseder. But what about the issues of... Now we had two issues. We had one issue of chaser and one issue of color. We said, according to Rashi, there's no chaser, it's only the klipa. According to Rashi, there's no issue of color because it's a natural color. Within the Rambam and the Rabbeinu Hananel and Tosfos, what is the psul if you're maklif kulo? Trefa, okay, but what trefa? What does this come under in the world of trefa? Gluda is what? It's chaser. Gluda chaser. No, namely, this is the psul. It is chaser. We do view the klipa as part and parcel of the animal. So over here also, we view the klipa as part and parcel of the fruit. The only thing is that if you only took off miktsaso, why is it not chaser? As Ben pointed out,
it's going to grow back.
It's going to grow back. It's not chaser because it's only temporarily off. That's not considered to be chaser. So the pum fakir, that which the Rosh explained according to Rashi is not an issue, that is the issue according to Rabbeinu Hananel, the Rambam, and Tosfos. The issue is one of chaser. If it's an irreversible chaser, it's chaser. If it's a reversible chaser, it's not chaser. Kulo is irreversible, miktsaso is reversible. Fine. What about color? Right? In which we say that miktsaso is kosher. We have over here a red color instead of a yellow color. So the Rabbeinu Hananel learns like Rashi. Rabbeinu Hananel says, black and white, that... The second line of Rabbeinu Hananel on my edition, Niklaf or b'miktsas k'mo p'nei timra, adumin k'shera. Right, that this is a natural color. That's very, very nice. However, the Rambam over here has a different lashon. What's the Rambam's language? The Rambam says, "Niklaf hachitzon shelo, she'eno machasro, Ella Isha er Yarok Kamot Shehi Briyaso Im Niklaf Kulo Pasul Im Nishar Mimenu Kol Shehu Kasher. In other words, what's the ukimta of the Rambam? What
that has to stay green.
What did you remove? You remove something which would make it chaser. But what was the color of that which you removed?
Natural green.
Even less niklaf achitzon shelo she'eno machasro el yishayer yarok kamos shehi briyaso. You removed a transparent covering, namely that, in other words, that you have a transparent covering, and then the fruit itself is green yellow. In other words, but what you're removing is shakuf. So when you remove it, it's not an issue of changing color. It didn't change color. It remains yarok. According to the Rambam, is mashma, had it turned red,
it would be possible.
It would be possible because of a change in color, but it doesn't change color. What you're removing is an outer shield, which kanera keeps the moisture in, and that is, as long as there's a miktas of that remaining, it'll regenerate itself. And so, but if you remove it all, that's already considered to be a chaser, and with that, it's just going to die. It's like a skin of a human being. The outer layer is all gone. Then the protective system is gone. Okay, so we have over here a machlokas between Rabbeinu Chananel and the Rambam, at least what it appears to be, as to whether there's a psul of color. That according to the Rambam, or rather, we'll see that there is a psul of color, as to whether red is a color which is pasul. According to Rabbeinu Chananel, like the Rosh and Rashi, red is a natural color and is kosher. According to the Rambam, no, the natural color of an esrog is green, yarok. And what was removed did not change the natural color. So, okay, let's continue in the Gemara. Tani ula bar chinina. Nikev nekev mefulash b'mashehu v'she'ena mefulash kide isar. So here we have to go back to the Mishnah. Before we see Tani ula bar chinina, even though it's very important, we have to go back to the Mishnah. And the Mishnah says nikev, and then there are two girsos. Nikev chaser kol shehu, or nikev v'chaser kol shehu. What did you see about these two girsos? To whom do they belong within the world of Rishonim? Leave aside Rashi for a minute. We'll come back to Rashi, because Rashi, as you pointed out on the Mishnah, but what is, you know, it's where do we have a black and white machlokas as to what is the girsa in the Mishnah?
The Rambam seems to be without the Bav.
The Rambam and the Raifit, excellent. In other words, namely, the question is, do we have over here a list of psulim, nikev kama, chaser kama, right? In other words, or do we have nikev v'chaser? That nikev is only possible, b'tnai that we have chaser. So the Rambam understood, nikev kama, chaser, namely that nikev, if you have a nekev mefulash, if you have a nekev from side to side, even without any chaser at all, even though it's a pin that goes through, and when it comes out, there's no chaser at all. There's nothing on the pin itself that anything left the esrog. B'chol zot, it's pasul. Right, that's the language of the Rambam. Esrog shenikev nekev mefulash kol shehu pasul. Where do we have a din of chaser within the Rambam? Only in the nekev she'eno mefulash. There we have the nikev v'chaser, but at the beginning there's no requirement of chaser. Comes to the Raivin and the Rav of Zishibush, el nekev hamafulash bechisaron mashehu, she'ena mafulash bechisaron ki'isum. Mikol makom chisaron be'ina. There's never going to be a case where there's no chisaron. The only question is how much of a chisaron. So lechora, this is a machlokas in terms of what is the girsa in the Mishnah. The Rambam had the girsa without the vav, and the Raivid had the vav. What does Rashi say on the Mishnah?
That it's one.
Rashi has the girsa, right? Nikev v'chaser, like the Raivid.
Like the Raivid.
Like the Raivid, right? That you need a chaser within the Tanakama. Comes along Rashi on the Gemara, Tani ular bar chinana, a nikev v'lo chiser koi. the machshir, the tana de masnisin, vasa haitana lemeimar, that case is pasul. Nike velochiser. Right? In other words, that here, it's mashir from Rashi, he's learning the Mishnah, that nikev without a chisero, nikev chaser. No, how would you understand? Why should Rashi be soser himself, paskin like the Ravid in the Mishnah, and bring in the Rambam in the Gemara?
I thought Rashi later, didn't the Mishnah itself later on say?
Nikev
v'chaser koshehu chada milsa. The ilu nikev v'lo chaser shetacha bo machat v'hotzia kosher kiritani seifa. Or is that the psul of the Mishnah was only, I'm sorry, nikev v'chaser koshehu chada milsa. Nikev v'lo chaser. That's the, oh, this is all the Ravid, no?
Yeah.
Nike v'lo chaser is kosher.
Isn't that what Rashi says in the first line that he's saying?
Where, which, with,
in the
Gemara?
In the line above. That he's saying that this Ula Bar Hanina is not the same as what we heard in the Mishnah? Isn't that what he says? Lo chaser karim to machshatan v'asisan, right? That when it came to, if it wasn't missing, the Mishnah said it was okay. For some time, they were foolish, and this. Tana is saying something different than that.
Asa Tana lemeimar dimefula shu mitzido letzido pasul
benekev what the Mishnah
kol shehu.
That's the whole point.
I think Rashi is saying there's a machlokes Tana here. Because we
steer off it all. Afal pi shehu. I think you're correct. I think I made a mistake.
Well, later in that Rashi on Lamed Vav, Rashi is explaining that Ula hold that they are two different psulim.
Right. In other words, it was my mistake. In other words, what Rashi is saying is that the Mishnah is the Ravid, and Tani Ula Bar Chinina is the Rambam.
Mm-hmm.
Right. In other words, that Tani Ula Bar Chinina is, in other words, that the Braisa is Cholik on the Mishnah. Right. I'm sorry. You're right. It was my mistake. That the Rambam and the Ravid. Otherwise, it could be then, what you're saying is that there is no machlokas between the Rambam and the Ravid, simply that the Ravid paskind like the Tanakama, and the Rambam paskind like the Braisa.
No, that's not correct. No, that
what?
Can't be. No. Because the whole point is that the Rambam is holding that this Gemara is going on the safe of the Mishnah that says Aniki Velo Chaser, and that it's qualifying what that condition is. The Ravid holds that this Braisa of Tani Ula is going on
the Resha.
Is going on the Resha. So they are arguing.
Right. I think it's I mean, the three Lumachos were shown on how to learn the Gemara.
Correct.
One bit Rashi and the Ravid have the same Girsa, but a different reading of the Gemara.
Mm-hmm.
The Rambam has a different Girsa in which there's no conflict between the Gemara and
the Braisa. Right.
But that's the problem within Rashi, is that Rashi, on the one hand, he said it's Nikev v'chaser, but then in his pshat here, he's going clearly with the pshat that it's Nikev and chaser. That's two separate things.
In the Braisa.
Rashi learns that there's a machlok between the Braisa and the Mishnah. It's very glad for Rashi.
Yeah, in other words, within the Mishnah, according to Rashi, the Mishnah is the Ravid. And over here, Tana Ula Bar Chinina, he says that which the Ravid was machshir, namely when there's no chisaron, I am posel. Even though there's no chisaron, I am posel it. In other words, that's the Rashi understands that the Mishnah is like the Ravid, and that the Braisa over here is like the Rambam. The Ravid kanereh understood, even if the Ravid understood that way, he could pass them like the Mishnah. The Rambam kanereh had somehow a girsa in which the Tana Ula Bar Chinina is simply backing up the Mishnah, as opposed to being cholik on the Mishnah, because the Rambam Parshas learned this in the Mishnah. The Rambam learned this way in the Mishnah.
And he adds the detail of the Mufur Kisar.
Yeah, then he adds, but he doesn't contradict the Mishnah. Correct. Okay, you're right. I mean, it was my mistake. Okay, then the Gemara goes and continues to the Nol Dubo Simane Trefa Mahu. That Lachora, we have already three Simane Trefa within the Mishnah, Niklaf, Nistak, and Nikev, and it adds another Siman Trefa. We did not see this world of Siman Trefa by the Lulav, by the Hadas, and by the Arava. What over here, Lachora, is obvious, and with Siman Trefa in Chulin refers to what part of the natural world? Where do we have Trefos within in Sugi of Chulin? What are we dealing with? What we have Chai, Tzomeach, Medaver, etc. What kingdom are we talking about? The world of Trefa?
Chai.
We're dealing with the animal kingdom. In other words, our Gemara is moving it over to the world of Tzomeach. But which part of the world of Tzomeach?
Just the food.
Just the pre. Right. In other words, they were saying that as opposed to the world of Eitz, where there is no concept of Trefa, within the world of Pri, there's a concept of a quasi-Trefa, and this quasi-Trefa within the world of Pri applies, of course, only to the Esrog, that there is some sort of an organic wholeness to a fruit, which does not apply necessarily to an Eitz. It's something which is a little harder for us to quantify, to break up into botanical categories. But there is a fruit and there is a non-fruit, and we only find this by the world of fruit, this concept over here of trefa, that to a certain degree a fruit is also has a certain degree of chiyut, and so we could speak about a concept of trefa. Then the Mishnah, so the Gemara deals with this inner rotting as to whether this is an issue within the Esrog, and then the Gemara moves over to a whole list of psulim, tafuach, saruach, kavush, shaluk, kushi, lavan, menumar, then the world of the kadur, the world of the tiyom, sort of Siamese twins within the Esrog, then bosar, we'll talk about, and then Godro Bidfus Vaasao Kamin Beria Acheris. So again, Tafuach Tzarech, we're dealing within the realm of Trefa. In terms of the Kushi and the Lavan, we'll deal with in a second. Just the Gemara does not really talk about the world of Dufus at all. What Chakira could you have in terms of Godro Bidfus Vaasao Kamin Beria Acheris? What chakira could you have over here in terms of the nature of the psul when you grow the estrog in a molding kli and it comes out looking like a turnip or it comes out looking like a square or whatever? What issue is there over here? Is it a din of hadar? It's simply that a square estrog is not hadar, a pentagon is not hadar, or
and we removed it from the mean esrog.
Right, that this is no longer an esrog. Namely, we have some objective standard of an esrog in terms of its tzura. If the tzura is missing, it's not an esrog at all. Again, with what nafkamina?
One day versus
right, one day during 3 weeks. So 7 days, again, what over here is exactly the issue? And l'chor, this is an issue that we can ask also, we're going to move through in terms of color. In terms of size, are we out of the realm of the esrog, or are we dealing with an esrog that lacks a degree of hadar? That we already discussed this to a small degree. We'll come back to it. But the Gemara deals with the world of esrog kushi and esrog lavan. That these two are issues of psul, namely as opposed to red, that was machlokes rishonim. Black and white are considered to be psulim. But the question is, in terms of black, exactly what is the issue? Because we have a stira within the Braisa and the Mishnah. Amar Mar, Esrog Kush, or between two Braisas. Esrog kushi pasul, v'hatanya kushi kasher, domela kushi pasul, amar Abaye, kitna nami masnisin, domela kushi. Rava amar lo kasher, halon haluhu. So let's take these two terutzim separately. Let's first try to understand the terutz of Abaye and then move over to the terutz of Rava. Now, how did you understand within Rashi? What is Abaye distinguishing over here between Esro Kushi and Domela Kushi?
Domela Kushi is it looks like it was grown in Africa, but it was actually grown locally.
Okay, namely that, what is the halacha of a black esrog? Me'ikar hadin. What is the halacha of a black esrog? Is it kosher or is it pasul? Within Abaye. A black esrog grown on a black esrog tree, as the assumption is would grow in Africa, in Kush, in Ethiopia, the esrog that grows in Ethiopia, the black esrog that grows in Ethiopia is kosher. However, if you have a tree in Eretz Yisrael, which grows all esrogim being green, green-yellow, and you have one black esrog, that is called Dome le Kushi, and that is pasul. That's what Abaye says, right? That's what is the concept of Dome le Kushi? What does Rashi say? Dome le Kushi, shegodal kan, it grew in Eretz Yisrael, v'harehu shachor, even though all the esrogim in Eretz Yisrael are green-yellow, pasul, shenidmehu. Now, what is the concept over here of nidme? Do you know that concept from the world of chulin? It's a halachic category, nidme, that if you have, let's say, a cow and a bull, and the cow becomes pregnant from the bull, and it gives birth to a baby that looks like a goat, that we call a nidme. In other words, even though a goat has all kosher simanim, but nidme, it's a mutation. It's somehow it's a mutant. There's some genetic issue over here, and as such is pasul. Nidme is a mum. And so that's what Rashi is over here. What is the old French?
Counterfeit.
Right? Counterfeit. In other words, but counterfeit in French doesn't necessarily mean counterfeit in English, right? Counterfeit means that we have over here something which is strange. The nidme we have over here, something which is strange, something which doesn't belong. Aval kushi atzmo, in other words, the Ethiopian esrog, hainu ta'am de kosher de urchehu. In Ethiopia, that's what the tree grows. But an esrog tree, in other words, two goats who give birth to a goat, that's normal. Two cows that give birth to a goat, that's the nidme. So over here, that's a distinction that Abaye is making. On what does Rava disagree and on what does Rava agree? Halon hulahu, halahu. He agrees with Abaye, the last line, Gadel kan, if we have an esrog that grows in Eretz Yisrael, v'dome l'kushi, and it's a black esrog growing on an esrog tree in Eretz Yisrael, it's pasul. But he adds psul. What if we have an esrog that was grown in Ethiopia and was brought to Eretz Yisrael? What if we have this esrog in Ethiopia, right? Livnei Eretz Yisrael shirachokin me'eretz kush einam regilim lahem. It's pasul, but the bnei bavel shekrovim lekush regilim lahem, there it's kosher. In other words, that the Ethiopian esrog would be kosher in bavel and be pasul in Eretz Yisrael, not because it's a nidme, not because it's a mutant, it's an authentic Ethiopian esrog. But what is the issue? That what? They're not used to it. Right? That according to Rava, that which you're not used to can be pasul just for being not used to. Namely, the concept of hadar is something very, 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 very subjective. Simply technically, since we all have maps and we all know that Bavel is to the east of Eretz Yisrael and Ethiopia is to the west of Eretz Yisrael.
This is not long as the Bible on Midrash Esther also.
Right, but it could be, no, but here I think it could fit in very well according to the map. How did they go to Bavel from Kush? And how did they go to Eretz Yisrael from Kush?
Through Eretz Yisrael, they went by land, but through
Bavel
they went.
Right, no, it's to Eretz Yisrael, you'd have to go through a desert. That was Rachok. You know, it's but from Ethiopia to Bavel, you go simply across the Red Sea, you cut across over there, below the Straits of Tyre, and you go up, there is a caravan. In other words, so it turned out there were Ethiopian Esrogim in Bavel, there were not Ethiopian Esrogim in Eretz Yisrael. It could also be that, you know, that in Bavel they didn't grow Esrogim, and so they had to import them, and Kush was a very common place to import from. Yes?
The article I just wrote for yes? The upcoming thing, this is a machlokas across Shas, Tanan, about which Kush we're talking about in like every single sugya that Kush comes up. There's also Kush in outside Turkey, like what we call the Hindu Kush. Mm-hmm. It's also called Kush by the Tanan. So it could be that that's what.
That's the Kush we're talking about. We're not talking about Ethiopia. Right. Okay. The issue is only that normally we speak about the Kushi. In other words, we're speaking about an individual who is an African, who is a black. In other words, they come from Kush.
It seems like a lot of the Chazal identify.
Even in the Kush next to Bavel, that there was.
They identified it, yeah.
Okay.
A lot of Chazal identified it.
Fine. Very interesting. Okay, the Rif, however, over here learns differently. Move with me to the Rif. Daf Yud Zayin, Amud Beis. If you have it, in the thin lines of the Rif, four lines from the end of the thin lines, Kushi Pasul, V'hatanya Kushi Kasher, Doma L'Kushi Pasul. Amarava Lokashia. So we don't even bother to bring in Abaye. Okay, we go straight to Rava. Amarava Lokashia Halon Halohu Perush. Livnei Eretz Yisrael Kushi Pasul. Vikol Shekain Kushi Harbe Hadomela Kushi Shehu Pasul. Ulivnei Bavel Shesrogehan Kushiim Hakushi Kasher. Hakushi Harbe Shehu Domela Adam Kushi Pasul. Namely, that we have Kushi and we have Kushi. We have Kushi, which means a darker Esrog, and we have Kushi that means a black Esrog, similar to an Adam Kushi, similar to a black individual, who I assume came from Ethiopia, but it could be that black individual came from that province near Turkey. But Echshalo Yiyeh, what Rava is saying is that dark Esrogim in Bavel are the norm. Dark Esrogim in Eretz Yisrael are not the norm. But both in Bavel and in Eretz Yisrael, a black Esrog is possible. That's the Nidmel Kushi. Nidmel Kushi is not a halachic term meaning a mutation. Nidmel Kushi is a black Esrog that is similar, Nidmel from Lashon of similar, that is similar to a black individual, namely real black, as opposed to simply a darkening of the Esrog, and the darkening of the Esrog, that's the Machlokas. So, in other words, we're not dealing over here with Esrogim that are coming from Eretz Kush, according to the Rif. We are dealing with Esrogim that are local, and that's the Urchayu of Bavel, and the non-Urchayu of Eretz Yisrael, but both in Bavel and in Eretz Yisrael, we have a psul of black. Mashenken, and according to Rashi, black is kosher. Unless it grows on an esrog tree in which there are no black esrogim, but a black esrog would be kosher according to Rashi, if that were to be orchayu. Okay, so we have over here this machlokas. What we're left with is to finish up these psulim and then to move over into the next mishnah, which returns to the world of Eged. Within the psulim, what we're going to see is that we're going to move over into the world of Shabbos. On two planes, both on the plane of Muktzah and on the plane of the Heter of Kavod HaBrios. Exactly, we know that there's a general principle that we can make an Isurim Drabanan because of Kavod HaBrios. The question is, are there Drabanans and Drabanans? And what is the rule of when we can be Makil because of Kavod HaBrios? That we're going to see over here within Tosos and the Rishonim. On the Amud Beis, and so Blinder tomorrow morning will give you a page of my class. but I think that we could finish. And again, it's not difficult, Gemara. Just as Gemara today was not difficult. Just I think that we could finish and move already into the next Mishnah as well.